Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Since this is the Sabbath before the Feast of Tabernacles, I thought we would have a special Bible study in the Psalms. And as we go through these, let's understand this. The more we study and restudy and restudy, the more we learn. Because Jesus said that the words that I speak to you, and of course he was the Lord God of the Old Testament, he's the one who inspired the Old Testament as well, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And we are told in Isaiah 28 that we understand the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And we are told by Paul to Timothy to rightly divide the word of God. And so I want to focus in on a couple of very important things here in the book of Psalms. So let's come to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. And we're going to go through several psalms here. And we're going to see how they fit in, okay, and how we can learn from them, even though we've gone over them before. Now, let's begin with Psalm 61. This is very interesting and very important from the point of view that this depicts a lot of what our lives are about, what we go through, what our goal is, attaining to the kingdom of God, etc., and our prayers. So let's begin right here in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Okay? And prayer is one of the most important things in our lives. For our spiritual lives, prayer is as important as eating. And study going along with that. So we have eating and drinking. We have learning of the word of God. Verse 2, from the end of the earth I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. The way we get ourselves in trouble is when we have troubles and we don't go to God when we're overwhelmed, see? And we're going to face a lot of different situations like that. And I think when you look at the world and you look at the way things are and even flooding in our lives, we get overwhelmed with a lot of things, don't we? See? So we need to go to God, not run from him. Lead me to the rock higher than me, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower against the enemy. And who is the enemy? Satan the devil and his agents. Okay. Notice verse 4. Always had his mind on the ultimate goal. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. That's why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to be dwelling with God. I will take refuge in the hiding place of your wings. Now you can put in there Psalm 91. The wings are the protection, okay? For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Now, notice, we're going to look at the maze. Now, if you have a smartphone and you have all of these on there, do a search in the Psalms of every place where it says may. Now, may is very important. May you add to the days of the king's life. So this is a prayer where there is may. You are pleading with God for him to do something for you. May God do this to you. Okay. May his years be as many generations. And the ultimate of that is going to be eternal life, isn't it? Yes, indeed. May he abide before God forever. Prepare mercy and truth to preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, so that I may daily perform my vows. So this shows the kind of relationship that we are to have with God. Okay? I'll hold your place here, and let's come back to Matthew 11. Okay? Matthew 11. Because through Christ, now this is what's so important. How do we grow in grace and knowledge? Through prayer and through study and through living our lives and with the Spirit of God. See? Now think about this. The prophets and even David, they had a tremendous relationship with God. Now we have one higher than they had. We have a relationship with God the Father. Okay? Now notice what Jesus said here. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you have revealed them to babes. Now, how does God do that? Why do the people of God know things and understand things and perceive things that other people don't? Not because we're smarter. No, we're called babes. Okay? How is that accomplished? With the Spirit of God. And what is that called by Paul? What happens to our minds and our hearts when we receive the Spirit of God? And that's just the beginning when we repent and baptize, receive the Spirit of God. That is called the circumcision of the heart. And what does the circumcision of the heart do for us? It takes away the hostility of carnal nature toward God and His word and His laws, and gives us a hungering and thirsting for God's way. But it's like everything else, we have to keep at it, see? So notice, yes, fathers, for it was well-pleasing in your sight to do this. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, neither does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. Very interesting statement, isn't it? Because God is working in our lives in many different ways that we do not even suspect. How does our connection with God and the Holy Spirit work? Well, we know it works, but we don't know how it works. It's just like the law of gravity. We know it works because we're not floating around, right? But how does it work? We don't know. Okay? When we pray, how do our prayers go to God? It's better than a smartphone. Okay? How does a smartphone work? Well, there we go, smartphone. Okay. Dave was showing me everything he's got on his phone. He has the whole Library of Congress on it. Not quite. Okay. Well, with us spiritually, it works that way too. And just like you've got to push certain buttons and certain little pictures on your phone to make it work, there are certain things you need to do in prayer and in study and in living and in choosing and doing all of these things together, see? Personally chooses. Now, the Greek here is very interesting. There is a special Greek verb called the middle voice verb, which is, when it refers to an action, you do it for yourself. Now, why did I translate it? See, you are the subject, you're also the object, okay? It's like I throw the ball to me and I catch it, okay? Well, I translated it personally because God is involved in bringing us to Him personally. See? What we know It's not because we're anything, but because of what God has done, what Christ has done, and are doing, and will do. See? Personally chooses to reveal him. Then he says, come to me, all you who labor and are overly burdened. What did we read back there in Psalm 61? Overwhelmed, right? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God will help us in all of these things. Now, true, as we get older, we're coming to the end, toward the end. Everybody, you know, that happens to everybody, see? When we're young, we don't think about it, see? You don't think about, well, when I get old and weak, see? But it happens. What did Jesus tell Peter? He said, when you're old, you're going to be led around where you don't want to go, okay? What was Peter at the time he said that? Strong, hearty, leader, out there, doing, accomplishing, see? Now, when he's old, here, Peter, take my arm, I'll lead you. That's all part of life. So we need to look at these things the way God wants us to look at them. All right. Come back here to Matthew 6. Let's see what he said here. Matthew 6, okay, verse 9. Very interesting. Therefore, you are to pray after this manner. Our Father. Interesting, isn't it? The very first thing, our Father. Who do you have contact with? Sovereign ruler of the universe. Our Father. Now, when we all understand that, then we can put in proper perspective everything that we need to do. Who is in heaven? Okay. Now come back here to 1 John, the third chapter. First chapter, rather. Not third chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Now, this was at a time when there was a lot of difficulty going on in the church. And how do we survive all the difficulties going on in the church? Okay? Now, think about this. A lot of the brethren thought that Christ was going to return by the time the Apostle John died. Okay? But that's not what Christ said. He told Peter, what if I have him remain until I come? He did. He saw it in Revelation. But people thought it was going to be real. Think of the disillusionment that happened in the church at that time, especially with a lot of false apostles coming around and Antichrist. Okay, this is why he wrote this. All right, let's begin right here in verse 1. 1 John, the first chapter. That which was from the beginning. Now, let's grasp as much as we can spiritually of what God has done for us to call us to him. And Christ revealing this to us. From the beginning. That which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, that which we observe for ourselves, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and are bearing witness and are reporting to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested to us. That is, seeing Christ in the flesh and everything about his ministry. That which we have seen and heard, we are reporting to you in order. Now, notice this is one of the most important verses in your relationship with God, right here. That you also may have fellowship with us for the fellowship. That's what it is in the Greek. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his own Son, Jesus Christ. That is a tremendous thing to really grasp and understand, and something we grow into and understand even more as we grow in grace and knowledge. All right? Now let's come back to the book of Psalms here, okay? Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 1. Only for God does my soul wait in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. Now, this really applies to us today the way the world is. How many things are out there that is like a wall that's weak and bowing, okay? Financially, governmentally, spiritually. Look at all the difficulties we have to go through, see? They only consent to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Sound a little bit like the political landscape today? Yes, indeed. The religious landscape today? How many people really want the truth? Not very many. Verse 5, my soul wait in silence for God alone, for from him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my strong tower. I will not be moved. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have today. Let's see what Jesus said here in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Let's see, the contrast is the same. He talks about the straight and narrow way, and he talks about the broad way. So this ties in with the lies and the way that the world is and so forth. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Very important. See? What did Jesus teach? What he saw the Father do? What did he preach? What God commanded him to preach? See? So it's not whether they sound good, it's whether they are doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons through your name? Have we not performed many works of power through your name? Then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Going to be a lot of surprised people around when that happens, right? Think about it. I know I was talking with a man recently who has a hard time understanding that God has not abolished the law or the prophets. But you look at the religions of this world, all the Christian religions. I mean, we'll just wipe away all the other ones just for the sake of discussion here. How many of them follow what men teach by misusing the scriptures? They cannot get over the Sabbath, and the Catholics can never get over the images. And those two things drive away God. He won't have anything to do with it, see? That's why it is you have to do the will of the Father in heaven. Okay. Now notice, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them. Very interesting, isn't it? You hear and obey and practice. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. We just read, the Lord is the rock, correct? The rains came down. The floods came, the wind blew, and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Because we have the fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, we maintain that through prayer and study. We live by every word of God, as God has said. we practice the will of the Father. All of those combined, you see, Christianity is not as the Protestants portray it. They always lead them to the first step, which is the final step for them. Forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin is the first step. See, growing in grace and knowledge and building the Christian life and mind and heart and attitude is a constant thing to do. So then the ones who don't do it are called foolish. Okay, let's come back here to Psalms again. Okay, now verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Now notice, verse 8. Trust in him whenever you find yourself in trouble, whenever you think you need him. Trust in him at all times. All times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now, this is how our relationship and fellowship with God is developed and carried on and going forward day by day. Never forget this. Verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. And every time I watch these different politicians, I'm reminded of that. See? Tell you. When weighed into balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. That's why we have to trust in God. Men can only do so much for so long, but that's it. Okay? That's why when people look to politicians to save things or save themselves or save the society, it's difficult to find anyone who's going to be trustworthy enough to really do something. Okay? Today, everybody thinks, well, if Donald gets in, oh, what's that going to be like? Well, we don't know. If Hillary gets in, what's that going to be like? I think the choice is this. Do you want a slide that goes at 10 degrees? Or do you want a slide that goes at 60 degrees? That's your choice. Either way, it's going down. Isn't that true? What are you going to do with $20 trillion in debt just for the government? Dolores was shopping the other day, and she paid over $5 for a loaf of bread. You want to get some good bread? $5. If you want to mess up your whole system so you have to go to the doctor, get the $2.50. White gum all glued together with a little crust on it. Okay? I saw this one ad which says, prepare for the inflation that's coming. And you better prepare because it is coming. Okay. $10 a pound for hamburger. Okay. Well, we're already halfway there, aren't we? Yeah. Okay. When weighed into balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Just take this one verse, put it up there alongside your television. Watch all the political things that go along, and you will see that they're all fulfilling that verse right across the board. Trust not in oppression. Do not take pride in stolen goods. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work. Little question here, just we're going along because we'll put in some of these things as we go along. If, as the Protestants say, it is only by faith that you're saved, why does God say he's going to judge us according to our works? Okay? Let's come to James. Epistle of James. Right after the book of Acts. As we will see, faith requires action, and actions are works. Are they not? All right. Let's pick it up here. Okay. Verse 8. But if you are truly keeping the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. That's good. Notice, it is a work. Love requires action. Love requires thoughts. Love requires emotions. All of those together. But if you have respect to persons, you are practicing sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. For if anyone keeps the whole law, but sins in one aspect, he becomes guilty of all. Why? Because sin is sin is sin is sin. Now notice, he who says, for he has said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. If you disobey one of the commandments, what are you doing? You're disobeying the first one because you shall have no other gods before you, correct? Okay. And if it is a perpetual thing or habitual thing, it can become an idol. If you take up God's name and you're living in sin, you're taking his name in vain. If you don't keep the Sabbath, okay, on and on and on. Let's go forward here. Verse 12. In this manner speak, and in this manner behave, as those who are about to be judged by the law of freedom. See, if you keep the law, you are free from sin, correct? The law is not a burden. The law is to relieve a burden, correct? For the one who is dealt without mercy will be judged without mercy, the one, but mercy triumphs over judgment. My brethren, what good does it do if anyone says he has faith but does not have works? Is faith able to save him? Now then, if there be a brother or sister naked and destitute of daily food, and one of them says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, but not give him the things that necessary for the body, what good is it? In the same way, also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. You have to have faith and works. Why do you try and eat good food? Just take that one thing. You believe in eating good food because you believe that it will help your body, correct? So therefore, you eat it, and it does help you, okay? Now, if you say you believe in eating good food and you turn around and eat all of the garbage, what happens to your health? Doesn't turn out so good, okay? You could use many different things to show the same thing over and over again. All right. Verse 18. But someone is going to say, you have faith and I have works. My answer is, now this is correct in the Greek, everybody has works based on what they believe. Okay? Let's read it. My answer is, you prove your faith to me through your works, and I will prove my faith to you through my works. You say you have faith and believe in Jesus? You believe that he forgives your sin? You believe that sin is a transgression of the law, and you're a faithful Sunday goer. You say you have faith. What are your works? The wrong kind. Do you believe that God is one? You do well to believe this. Even the demons believe and tremble in fear. But are you willing to understand, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You must have the faith. You must have trust. That's why it says, trust in him at all times, even if in the temporary moment it may appear to be a disadvantage to you. All times. Now, here's where people get all mixed up, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his own son, upon the altar? Now, there were two times that it's recorded that Abraham believed God. Genesis 15, when he said, count the stars, that's how your seed is going to be. He believed God. There was no work he could do because that was the impossible thing. But he believed God that that would happen, even though at that time he was 85 and he and his wife had no children. Now, how's that going to be? And in addition to it, he had to wait another 15 years for that to occur. So here he is, a father for the first time at 100 years old. Okay. I don't know how that worked. I tell you, I don't know how that worked. And I can't blame Sarah for laughing. Okay. The next one was, take your son, your only son whom you love, and you go offer him. Now, he had to believe God, have faith, and obey him, and do it. And remember, what was the question of Isaac as he was carrying the wood on his shoulder, and his and Abraham, his father, was carrying the coals in the pan, okay? He said, Father, I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where is the lamb? And here they're walking up to build the altar. And Abraham said, I don't know. This is tough. God asked me to do a very difficult thing. I hope you don't mind me cutting your throat. No. He said, the Lord will provide. So what happened? Built the altar, put the wood on it, tied up his son, put him on the altar. Now, why was he going to do all of this? Because Hebrews 11 says that he knew God could raise him from the dead. See? He trusted God that much that if it really came to that, he could raise him from the dead. Okay? Now, I tell you, I don't think any of us have that kind of faith, but it waited until he reached down to take the knife, and then the angel called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, what was the message? Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son. Okay? So then, God provided a ram caught in a thicket. You talk about a last-minute escape. That's something. Good comment. Good comment. Comment was made, even Isaac had to have faith because, you know, if you're 15 years old and you know you're going to have your throat slit, how much of a fight do you think you would have with a 15-year-old today? You ain't going to do that to me. You know. Now quit being rebellious. I'm not being rebellious. I'm just trying to save my life. So they both had work to do because they believed God. Okay? So when it says trust God at all times, that's what it means. Okay? So he says, do you not see, verse 22, that faith was working together with his works? And by works, his faith was perfected. All right? Now, let's come to Revelation 2 here for just a minute. Revelation 2. And then we'll take a break right after this. Okay? Revelation 2 and verse 1. And to the angel of the Ephesian church write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven lampstands, I know your works. Okay? Works and faith are like hydrogen and oxygen. They make water, right? They go together. And your labor and endurance and so forth. Then he says, verse 9, Church of Smyrna, I know your works and your tribulation. Then he says to Pergamos, verse 13, I know your works In each case, you can go through all the seven churches, your works, your works, your works, because your faith and your trust is to produce works, because God is building character within you, and each one of us have to choose. Everything we do is a choice. Okay? And so right now, I'm choosing to take a break.